Okay,
I'm just gonna start.
Hey guys. Hey everybody, welcome to the Roaring Glory Podcast. My name's Dakota Darby.
My name's Andy Darby.
We are roaring the glory of God unashamedly with all love and grace, answering questions from the church and talking about doctrine, theology, and current events from a Christ-exalting worldview. That's exalting, E-X-A-L-T-I-N-G.
I misspelled it.
Well, does...
I probably misspelled it.
Making me question English now.
No.
When you spell it with a U, that means you're...
Exalt? I gotta
with
go
an
change.
A, it's like you're holding him up.
So I got to go change it.
To glory. Maybe. I don't know. Ask John Piper. Expository exaltation. There's a plug. So anyways, on this introductory podcast, we decided we would let you know why there is such a thing called the Roaring Glory Podcast and what we're doing. What I just read to you is going to be the basics of what we're doing. And we're here for the local church, basically. Our home church is First Baptist Church of Holt, Missouri. And those are the people that we are shepherding, intending to feed and point to good food and to the glory of God. And we also are glad to hear from more listeners as they jump on board this podcast. So, Andy, the first thing that we list here in this little blurb,
yes,
is we're answering questions from the church.
Yes, which, by the way, if they have questions, they can send those to roaringglorypodcast@gmail.com.
Roaringglorypodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and we will both have that on our phone shortly after this.
Yeah, and don't freak out when you type in Roaring Glory, because there will be two G's back to back, one at the end of roaring and one at the beginning of glory. So sometimes that trips you up with your visuals.
Yeah, I didn't think about that whenever I set that up, so...
It's all right. This is the beginning. This is what we are working with. But we got a beautiful logo.
Yes, you did a great job with that.
Well, I took it off the internet somewhere. I don't know who did it. I'm sure they sold it to whoever created the logo maker and made a bunch of money.
I was giving you some creative juices there. I really felt like that was a plug for you. But
so send those questions to roaringglory@gmail.com right now, and we will answer them. We're going to seek to do this about twice a month. Yes. We're also going to interview people from the church and beyond that as God gives us opportunities and open doors. So any questions and all questions, not promising all answers, I don't think. But
I'm not. No, if you're not, I'm surely not.
I have a computer here, but I can't even make that answer stuff that fast. Talking about doctrine, Andy, what is that going to look like?
Well, I think that we'll talk mostly from a Reformed standpoint as far as doctrine of the church goes. Obviously, biblically, first and foremost, but really trying to give the people an understanding of church history and what our church fathers did before us and why they did it biblically, and kind of go from there.
You mentioned Reformed. Can you tell people what that means?
So I actually just watched a little plug for this little video here. I actually just watched a little documentary called Spirit and Truth last night. Same guy who did the Calvinist documentary. Mm. I can't pronounce his last name. I think his first name is Les, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But they talked a little bit. They gave a little bit of a background on like Luther and Calvin and how these things kind of split apart. So Luther was more of the, in their worship services, they did things that weren't restricted by the Bible. So if it wasn't restricted by the Bible, they were okay with it. Calvin came along a few years later and said, we're only going to do things that the Bible tells us to do. And so that's kind of the direction that the Reformed doctrine and community went, where everything that we do comes from the Bible, everything that we think and say, hopefully, comes from Scripture.
Yeah, and a lot of people, when they hear that Reformed word, especially in Baptist circles, they think, oh, gosh, these guys, what? But that's all we mean. Man, that's all we mean. And I think Reformed theology, it's a shame that we have to call it that, but we believe biblical theology. That's the only theology that we recognize. And so, you know, that if you've ever heard of the five solas of the Reformation, that would be a way that makes these things clear. Or the doctrines of grace, that would be a way that we believe makes salvation in the Bible clear. So if you have any more questions about those, we would answer those questions.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you would.
Well, I don't know.
I could ask the questions and then you could answer them.
So that film that Andy mentioned is called Spirit and Truth, a film about worshiping God. The creator is Les Landfear, Lanphere. Les Landfear. And how long was it?
It was about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, somewhere in there. It was pretty good. It was informative. He's a great film director as far as documentaries go. He keeps it interesting. It's not dry.
Does he interview people?
Yes, lots of people. A couple well-known people we might know. Bob Coughlin was on there.
A worship guy.
Worship guy.
Yeah.
And then Kevin DeYoung was also another well-known name on there.
Yeah. He's in Michigan. We have some Michigan people at the church. Shout out Brian and Juanita. What's
hey.
Up? Now, Andy, what was... Oh, theology. When we talk about theology, what does that mean?
Well, that's a great question, and I would just let you describe that.
So theology is simply the study of God, or what we can know about him, and what we can know about him, the Bible tells us, it's very clear in creation, but also especially in his word. So we are a people that are word-centered. We love his word. We are seeking to understand more of it, know more of it. And so it's simply what we mean. He is the word. There you go.
Yeah. John 1.
John 1.
Boom.
We just preached John 3, which brings us into the last part of our blurb here. We're going to be talking about current events from a Christ-exalting worldview. So what's a current event going on right now as
so
we speak?
If people have been watching the news closely, because it hasn't really made top headlines at all. It's
hard to find.
Yeah, it is hard to find. But coronavirus, COVID-19, there are a lot of other names that I might use, but people might get offended, so I won't do that. coronavirus is kind of taking over our world, it seems. Can't get away from the news. And actually, in our current society, we are having government-ordered shutdowns, lock-ins.
Lock-ins makes it sound like youth group.
that's what I thought when I said that.
COVID was built for the youth group, man. Lock it in. Bring it back. Andy, you ever been to a lock-in?
Yeah, I did. I went to two of them.
How'd you feel about it?
I fell asleep.
That's not the point of the lock-in.
It was good until about like 2 a.m. And then I was like, gosh, I just want to go home. This is ridiculous. These kids are annoying me. You know, it's like the more time you spend with a friend in one day, the more you realize yeah. I'm not.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah.
Like we woke up together. We played basketball together. We hinted at dinner, but we were like, I don't know if I'll want to see you again for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Like the friend when you're in school who you invite over to spend the night on Friday night, and then they stay all day Saturday.
Ooh.
And then go to church with you on Sunday.
Oh, no.
And it's like,
Yeah. I never did a two-night. I don't know. How did we get here? Anyways, yeah. I never did a two-night sleepover.
We got to come back. Current events.
yeah, current events are current, man. So what we just did was very new to the church, very new to me. We did a sermon and worship live on Facebook.
Yeah.
Actually, in our sanctuary,
yeah.
We had less than 10 people here. we actually had how many? Five?
Five, including Trey Trey.
Including my 3-year-old. And he walked in circles around the pulpit while I preached live. But he didn't say a word.
He didn't.
So
that was impressive.
I'm okay.
He did fall down once.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. Good job, Trey.
No, so for me, it was the first time, too. I've never, and I think I actually said it, I've never led worship for a group of people who were not present. That was interesting.
Yeah. And I'll just make a confession. They started with...
He Will Hold Me Fast.
He Will Hold Me Fast. Yeah. I don't know the titles.
It's all good.
But it tore me up. I don't know.
It's a good one.
But they... curated a worship set that was from the hand of God himself. It was beautiful. And then I looked in the camera and preached. And I don't know. I mean, it was pretty
good.
Normal, it felt like. It
sounded normal. It sounded like you had some good passion there.
There were people in the audience, and Brian was in the booth. Yeah. So it wasn't too out of the ordinary. And I think people appreciate that. And if it's going to happen like this, you know, then these are mediums that I'm going to have to use. I don't like Facebook. I haven't had a personal Facebook for, I don't know, maybe before I got married.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to use the tools at our disposal.
Absolutely.
For the kingdom,
just
for the church.
Kind of why we're doing this.
Plug for Midwestern. Huh?
Kind of why we're doing this, too.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, yeah, exactly, man. We're going to use all the tools we can to communicate and to shepherd and to teach. Amen.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. That's what we're doing. We are looking at setting up a schedule to where these things will get out. A couple every month at least. Who knows?
Yep, yep.
We may feel a passion to. Andy's a farmer, so if the weather ever opens up, I'm sure you're going to get busy.
Yeah, we'll have to record like at 3 a.m.
Ooh, we could record in the tractor.
We could. We literally could. We could do it. We can figure it out.
I'll let you figure that out. I don't know.
I've got a lot of stuff we can record.
Okay. I would do it.
I'm about it.
I would do it.
Just to get it to the people, you know?
I wonder how that would sound. Maybe better acoustics.
I don't know.
Might be kind of loud.
It would be interesting.
Yeah, it would be. So any takeaways? We preached in John 3, 1 through 15, the conversation with Nicodemus. What are some of your takeaways? I preached it, so it doesn't really matter what I say anymore.
That's putting me on the spot right there.
Yeah. Oh, you took notes?
I always take notes. I take notes every Sunday. People can catch me in the front row taking notes. That sounds like a rap song. KB, rap that. Okay, so I wrote just kind of some major headlines of what you talked about. God takes the initiative to save sinners.
Mm.
Being born again, receiving awareness of life. These are all works of God.
Mm.
He makes us aware of his glory. Scripture also tells us that his creation is screaming his glory. And then I wrote under John 3, verse 7 through 8, he does the moving in sinners' hearts at his time and according to his good will. And his time is perfect, and his ways and thoughts are higher than our own. And you talked, I'm getting ahead of myself there, so you can interject. I was actually moving
ahead
to verse 15.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought that was a great point. In chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus refers to the bronze serpent that Moses held up in order to heal the people from snake bites after they had rebelled against God and essentially cursed him, got super mad that he saved him, which is ironic in itself. You're going to get mad at the person who saved you. But I thought it was a really good picture, and I'm glad that you drew that line for us of Moses holding up the serpent, and that being the tool that God used to heal his people, and then Christ being raised up on the cross and likewise being what God uses to save us. I thought that was a really good picture.
Well, Jesus drew that line because he's the Word, and so everything that happens is to lead up to the culmination of that salvation history. It's the thing that gets me about that story is they sinned, and he saved them.
Yeah.
From the judgment that was upon them rightly. And I don't know any better example than that. I mean, God has revealed in creation and in just his existence with us that he's good. Yeah. And he's wanting to do good to us, and he does good to us, and then we're like, well, I feel like I know a better way.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Hosea, the story in Hosea, and that was also kind of the same thing you're talking about there.
Yeah, Hosea, that's remarkable. And just Hosea is a crazy prophet because what he endures for the sake of the Lord, making known his grace and his mercy to his people. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, And I think sometimes maybe we don't see our own story that way, Andrew.
Probably.
That's, and that we may bemoan our circumstances, but God may be using that to, as I keep saying over and over again, bring him glory and us good.
Which brings us back to current events.
Current events, Corona, for God's glory and our good.
Absolutely.
And we're like, that doesn't make any sense, man.
Yeah, I've even had some people that I hold near and dear that have kind of been like, I don't understand the purpose of all this. Why is this happening? Like,
and that's probably true. Like, I don't know if we can know it all. So this, what we're doing with this, what we're doing with Facebook Live, what we're doing with even writing articles, is part of the fruit that's coming out of this. It's causing God's people to communicate more. It's causing his shepherds to be more bold and intentional in their direction of fellow sheep. And so I'm already beginning to see the glorious things he's doing, causing in his church to happen. But this isn't all. I mean, this is just a small drop in the bucket to what's going on. So one thing that I've witnessed in the church, I called a few people yesterday just to see how they're doing. Some of the people that don't have the internet, just to reach out to them and give them updates on our foreseeable future and all that sort of stuff. And every single one of them was like, yeah, I've heard from like four or five others today in the church. So everybody's keeping tabs on everybody. Everybody's making sure everybody has toilet paper. Somebody brought me toilet paper. I'm not going to tell you who it was. I'm not going
to
tell you.
Because they have a stock and people are going to go to their house.
So that, I mean, that's just really cool. People,
yeah.
We even got people that keep gardens and they're like, yeah, I've just got into my freezer. I don't eat much. So I'm giving people whatever they want.
Wow. So that they don't have to get out?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Plus, homegrown vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't, I mean, you can get that at the store, but I mean, like, just local, organic.
Yeah. And shouldn't we be this way as a church all the time?
Yeah. Acts 2. See, that's why another reason this time's glorious, because it causes the church to interact and care for and give and be a community.
Yeah.
Like was the natural outflow in Acts 2. Yeah. And we're seeing it. And I think before, when everything was okay, we were more isolated.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah. It's almost like now that we can't meet together on Sunday, we're making more of an effort to be what the church should be anyway. Mm. And when we're not isolated on Sunday, we get that kind of like community checkbox done. So yeah. A lot of people talk about that going to church on Sunday is the religious checkbox. Well, I think even for people who are biblically sound and know that community on Sunday is a good thing, that can be also like a check. Well, now I can just go and do whatever I want. And not that just stop doing things that we enjoy doing, but community and being a part of the church, we shouldn't begrudge community during the week either, which is sometimes I have a problem with. But I think this is really helpful.
Yeah. I know that, you know, I usually get tired during the week, but this has been a whole new form of tired because it's been, we've been actually living in a gospel community, even though we're not in each other's homes, which I think that will only boost this when we're able to come back together and we get together again and we have establish this sort of community, communication, care. I mean, I've just always started from the beginning thinking like, this is going to be good for the church. It's going to be hard, probably harder than I realize, but it's got to be ultimately good because that's what he does. So,
So
I'm looking for.
Definitely. That should be something we pray for too, during this time and after, that the Lord would continue to grow that type of fruit in our church and our people.
Yeah. So, church, email those questions to roaringglorypodcast@gmail.com. We will look to record as soon as possible, answer those questions as soon as they come in. And we thank you for listening to this. What do you call this? The first one. What do you call this?
It's like an introduction show? She's
we're looking at Rachel.
Yeah, she's not helping.
She's, yeah.
Ep one.
Ep one, introductory preliminary episode. Man, you get a mic in front of your face and you're just going to rap. I'm holding a mic that looks like an afro, and I really feel good about myself.
See, I can't hold a mic. If I were to hold a mic, I might start rapping.
You want to try?
No, I don't want to. No.
Okay, well, we don't know how to sign off, so.
Until next time.
All right, Andy Darby, James Bond. Goodbye.